I'm Jason Fitz. Braden Goff still in Omaha for one more day. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Julian Council, executive producing, bearded intern, back there just rocking the whole thing out.
Good morning, Sunflowers.
And Buck Rising, a very sore Buck Rising, as he has now started CrossFit, or as Buck Rising likes to call it, grown-up fat camp. So we're rooting for Buck Rising every day in that sort of way where I want Buck to get all of the results he wants out of CrossFit, but I also kind of love when he's limping and sore and his knee's all busted up. It kind of makes it a little funny. Like
if he has one trip to the hospital because of slight heart palpitations, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Will it be funny? Yes. Will it not be funny? Yes,
but
still, I'll enjoy it.
It's still, and for anybody that's never met Buck Rising, he is he's an imposing individual. He's taller than I am. He's broader than I am. And he is not particularly in need, in my opinion, of grown up fat.
He's the build of Rosie O'Donnell.
However, I will say this. I have not known Buck to be a tremendous workout warrior. So the fact that it's been announced that he's going from essentially nothing to grown up fat camp CrossFit that's the best part of it to me, going 0 to 60 on this.
Yeah, it's kind of like Made in Manhattan with Jennifer Lopez, except he's not trying to get married. He's not a maid, but he is trying to improve his life.
Well, he's already beautiful, and now he's going to be even more so. By the way, shameless plug, you should check out Buck and Julian Council. Technically Foul is the podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts, and they are spectacular. I like to trash them every time they put one out. They do great work. So Buck Rising, also a great Twitter follow, as he is our Titans, I'm using air quotes, reporter. He's our Titans eyes.
We'll he's one of the way. Best Titans minds this side of the Mississippi.
Well, that's strong statement there. That is a strong statement. So we'll keep you updated because I know everybody's riveted to know about Grown Up Fat Camp. So we'll give you as many CrossFit updates as we can in the process of this. Obviously, yeah, everybody's still a little bit flustered over the expansion draft and the process of that. We're going to talk a little bit about that as the day goes on. Robbie Stanley going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Going to be some great content there as always. And yesterday, the media world just blew up over Eric Decker, so we'll get into some of what I'm just going to say right now is overhype, and everybody's buying in too much on the greatness. Apparently, I didn't realize that Eric Decker is obviously the second coming, but if you watched ESPN yesterday, it's been verified because ESPN blew up about it. We'll tell you a little bit about that coming up, but the big news this morning all over the place actually circulates around the NBA, and it's funny because you just heard in the open, you heard in the update, the Cavs, all these rumors going around, all right? The Cavs, they're going to sign, they're going to trade for Paul George. They're going to find a way to bring Paul George in for 1 year, or are they going to find a way to trade for Jimmy Butler? While they're not going to be a super team, they're going to make themselves competitive with Golden State. We hear all of these things nonstop over the last few days. So there was a little bit of shock yesterday when in the middle of 52 rumors about who's going to be acquired for the Cavs, we find out that the Cavs no longer have a GM. GM David Griffin walks away from the job, and his contract was expiring. And this is one of those really awkward situations where several teams asked to talk to David Griffin over the last few months, and they were basically all shut down and told no. So the presumption became Cleveland was going to do something here to re-sign their GM. And in the process of that conversation, you think, okay, he's going to get a raise. It should be noted David Griffin was making about $2 million a year. That's about half of what a GM of his experience should be making, about half of that. And when you've gone to three straight titles, you're talking about somebody that easily could and should be making $5, $6 million a year. So the presumption was they were going to find middle ground and it was all going to work out. That is not at all what happened. David Griffin, they have mutually parted ways at this point. So this is one of those situations where you've got an owner. And remember, it's always an owner's right to be an owner. I have to stress that because we've seen it. We've seen it with the Titans. How many people came in with the Titans and wanted to scream about ownership until they started winning, and then everybody forgets that little nugget? You know, how many times when you saw a bad Raiders team, everybody screamed about ownership. Now they start winning? People are calmed down. The difference here is that the Cavs have been winning, yet they still find themselves screaming about ownership. And through all of it, it's the owner's right to do whatever he wants to do. So if an owner doesn't want to pay a bunch of money, if an owner doesn't want to come in and sort of reward that financially, fiscally, that's his decision. But that's the decision he's made, and in the process of it, it has made 100 dominoes start to fall. I want you to understand what this means for the NBA, because obviously the conversation about if the Cavs can't compete with Golden State, who can, sort of ruled our airwaves as we talked about the NBA playoffs over the last few weeks. Well, now we're finding out that the Cavs are probably going to be disassembled, because the connection between LeBron James has always been. The connection between LeBron James is absolutely, it's not between Dan Gilbert, who's the owner of the Cavs. The connection is all the way through and through has been between LeBron James and David Griffin. All right, so David Griffin is the guy that has this personal connection with LeBron, and LeBron only has 1 year left on his deal. So there has been rumors already that at the end of that 1 year, LeBron might consider going someplace like L.A. He's got a house out there. He has a company out there. His kids are in school out there, all of these different pieces. So it's not just a GM leaving. What this has led to is 100 conversations about the destruction, essentially, of the Cavs. And now are all of these players going to want to go elsewhere? Are free agents no longer going to want to sign there? Is there so much unsurety within the Cavalier organization that it's going to basically wreck the team? That's what's happened from one GM moving.
And what I'm interested to see is if LeBron ends up leaving, which this was the rumor prior to David Griffin being ousted yesterday. I don't want to hear mutually parting ways. That's like when my girlfriend broke up with me. Or, sorry.
You had a boo?
Well, never mind. We'll get back to that later.
Uh-huh.
It's like when we mutually parted ways, I got dumped hard. And it crushed me for years. That's why I am what I am today.
Yeah, we just learned a really insightful thing about how the the Julian Council that we know now has come to be.
Yeah, that was like 4 years ago, so I'm deeply damaged.
Yeah, it
was
so like seventh grade for you.
Yeah, but no, back to LeBron, though. I'm interested to see how the reaction is for the fan base if LeBron leaves again, if he does go to L.A., because this is not going to be on LeBron. It's going to be on the owner, Dan Gilbert, for probably the second time. Because LeBron already didn't like him from the first time, and the whole letter he sent to him after. And apparently LeBron's mom didn't even want him to go up to Cleveland because of what Dan Gilbert had said about him when he left to Miami. And now what are the fan base going to say about Dan Gilbert if, once again, LeBron leaves, mainly because of a decision that he made, because he let a guy who LeBron openly endorsed to stay on as GM leave. Or, like, not leave, just told him, kick rocks.
I mean, and that's the amazing part of this process is that, to your point, when all of this comes down, this time's not going to affect LeBron's legacy. It is definitely going to affect Dan Gilbert's legacy, the owner, because he will be blamed for tearing apart a team that has gone to three straight finals. Instead of now the conversation being, can they add one piece or two pieces to contend with Golden State, the conversation will now be, How do they keep this core together? Can they keep this core together? Will people even want to play in this situation? That's a much different conversation.
And I don't think anyone would want to. The only reason those guys are there now, outside of Kyrie Irving, is because LeBron brought them to Cleveland. And it'll be interesting, too. I was hearing a crazy conspiracy theory. You know how I love conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. Not at all. This morning when I was driving in, and someone was saying, you know what, LeBron wants to go out to the Western Conference so that his finals record isn't tarnished every year by Golden State.
Yeah, because he'd be in – yeah, that's amazing. He'd be losing to Golden State, but it would be in the conference final.
Yeah, much better than going like 3-9.
Well, and this changes the whole layout of the NBA at this point, because now every single team is looking out there saying, you know what? LeBron is definitely going to leave. And now guys like Paul George and Jimmy Butler that have been the talk, you know, Paul George has 1 year left on his deal. He's told the Pacers he doesn't want to go back to Indianapolis. So he doesn't want to go back to Indiana. So there's a point here where Paul George, there was a little fear.
Even if he makes one of those three All-NBA teams, where he would make $75 million more by playing with the Pacers. That's how bad he doesn't want to be in Indianapolis. Now, if we get to that point next year, we'll see if he doesn't want to play in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, $75 million seems like that's a lot of money.
Easy to say it now.
But he said straight out to them he wants to go to the Lakers. Part of the concern for the Lakers has been, do you really let, because that's raised trade conversation, should he be traded to Cleveland for 1 year as a rental player? Well, you were afraid before. You didn't want to let him go to Cleveland and get sort of sucked into that culture and want to stay there. Now you're looking at it saying, hey, that's such a cluster. I'm not worried about it. And all of this conversation really proves one thing. It proves that the NBA offseason, I mean, what we're seeing now in Cleveland, what we've seen with the trades of the Celtics moving out of the top pick, the talk of the NBA over the last week proves the NBA offseason is actually better than the NBA playoffs, which mirrors a little bit of what's happened in the NFL. It mirrors the sort of the fact that the draft and free agency have become these huge conversations because we all know it's a two-team race for the final, and now every other fan base is looking at it and they're saying, holy cow, we have a shot here too. All of this proves one key thing. The NBA gets it. The NHL does not. We'll get into that. We'll do that next up on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Jason Fitz, Julian Council, executive producing. You're listening to Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Getting into a little bit of this conversation about how the NBA gets it and the NHL doesn't. And it's that simple. And it's a perfect example is that ever since the finals have finished in the NBA, I feel like we are hearing more NBA talk on a national level and on a local level since the finals ended than we did during the finals. I mean, the playoffs stunk and the ratings were still up. The final was not what everybody wanted it to be as a finals. The ratings were up. So obviously interest in the NBA for anybody that wants to say it's broken, it's not. I mean, interest is fine. And I'm one of the ones that came in and said, hey, I think it's broken. But interest is fine. And then ever since the season ends, what do we see? I mean, in the process of this, the NBA is not going away because they have maximized their story. I mean, you come out of the NBA finals, you got the draft right around the corner, and what are we seeing? We're seeing big trades. We see the Celtics trade out of one, trade down to three. The 76ers trade up to that first overall pick. Creates a huge conversation. Now what do we have? We have the owner of the Cavs stepping in, essentially stepping on his own feet, getting in his own way. Brandon on Twitter retweeted a Rachel Nichols tweet that I think is important. The wording of the tweet, not accidental, from LeBron James. And the LeBron James tweet about this says, if no one appreciated you, Griff, regarding the GM, I did, and hopefully all the people of Cleveland. Thank you for what you did for the team for 3 years. We got us one with a trophy emoji. So LeBron is coming and saying, if no one else appreciated you, I did. And let's not lose sight of the fact that LeBron's a feeler. Like, some people are thinkers, some people's like my wife, a feeler. You know, if she's angry about something, she wants to talk until she doesn't feel it anymore. I'm a total thinker. So I'm just like, all right, feelings don't matter. Let's just talk about these things, right? That makes sense to me. LeBron's a total feeler. So here's LeBron coming in, and he got his feelings hurt. And while you may laugh at that in the car, that matters, all right? You know, I've taken communication classes before in group environments and how to communicate better with people that you work with and you live with, and part of that communication lesson is always figure out how the person you're communicating to needs to be communicated to. So if you know LeBron is a feeler, then you have to respect his feelings as you communicate to him. He receives the message better. How do you do that? I don't know. You involve him in the discussion. You make sure he's aware. I mean, it's already been reported by multiple sources that LeBron had no idea this was going to happen. He was blindsided. So you didn't respect your star. You've changed your culture. The very culture that David Griffin, in his essentially in his statements leaving, he addresses culture as part of the important part, working together, the good fit. He addresses that as he leaves. Well, that's already been partially ruined by the ownership group that doesn't contact and create that sort of communication with LeBron. And in all of it, I'm looking at it saying, my God, the NBA gets it. Because we can't stop talking about the NBA right now. The NHL had the biggest moment in 20 years. They had the biggest moment of this century, the opportunity to come in with expansion. The opportunity, you're growing. You're the first professional team in Vegas. You got new jerseys coming out in a couple of days, or today, actually. You've got new jerseys coming out today from Adidas. You've got all these.
Oh, that's today?
Exactly. You've got all of these things coming in, and I unfiltered on it yesterday, but heck, I tune on the NHL Network Sunday morning to watch coverage of the expansion draft, and they're playing repeat playoff games. They're not even talking about it. The NHL has got their heads so far up their butts, they don't even understand the communication about all of this stuff matters, and you got to hype it. You got to hype it yourself. The NBA built this by building the hype train, and they have crushed it. They've done a great job.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people also point out just ESPN's coverage and the TV rights deal they have at the NBA as a reason why the NBA is talked about ad nauseum on the four-letter network. Even still, though, ESPN will give the NHL its just due when needs to. Like during the Stanley Cup final, had three ESPN people in Pittsburgh and here covering the final, and they were doing a great job at it. And Barry Melrose, Linda Cohn, and Steve Levy. Now it's over. I haven't seen a single word of expansion. And you can't even sit here and be like, oh, well, ESPN's not giving any coverage. Like, well, NHL's own network isn't giving them any coverage. You turn on NBA Network, there's coverage of all this stuff going on. They're talking about the draft. They're giving you draft highlights, or, you know, of the players who are coming in, and they're giving you, you know, free agency talk. And that's not happening here on the NHL Network, which is crazy.
And you're totally right about the hype element of it. I realize ESPN doesn't have a TV deal with the NHL, so maybe they're not hyping it as much. Bad business. But above and beyond that, if you're not hyping it yourself, how can you ask everybody else to hype it? If you're not making it the biggest thing in the world, how can you not? And this is another example I say all the time, that what you have to do in business is look around at other businesses in your sector and say, who's doing it well? Even for me, in sports talk, I look around and I say, who's doing it well? And I try and study and learn from people. When I was a musician, I would look at people on tour and say, okay, who's had sustained success and how are they doing it? And I try and implement those things in my life. I think that's smart business for anybody. The NBA has done a great job. The NFL has done a great job. I said it earlier. The NFL, the beginning of the offseason, actually creates this whole momentum of hype around the NFL because it gives everybody else a chance. Everybody else feels like, you know what, if you're a Titans fan and you didn't make the playoffs, you look at the offseason and you suddenly come in and say, well, between free agency and the draft, now we feel like we're going to be the big movers. You know, that you're allowed that opportunity because the NFL gets it. They get that they have to spend the whole offseason selling all 32 franchises so that when the season starts, you're primed, you're boiling, the pot's ready. You can get everybody fired up, and then you can keep people fired up on a season that has parity by letting different teams come in and compete every year. It's built really well. The NBA has figured out that, okay, even though they're a league dominated by two teams because they're dominated by stars, they've figured out how to make their offseason such a conversation piece that you want to watch these stars develop. You're watching this. You're tied into it at this point. You've bought in.
Yeah, and the NBA and NHL are in the same kind of position. Right after their conference finals, or not their finals, they're just their finals period ended, they have a lot of things going on. NBA, you have the NBA draft this week. Then on Monday, we finally get to find out who the MVP is. And then, of course, free agency will start. NHL, same case. You have expansion draft this week. Then you're going to have the actual draft happening soon, and then free agency. But only one of them is actually taking full advantage of it. Where the NHL, you would think, especially in our market, where we still have momentum talking about the expansion draft. People wanted to talk about it all the time until they didn't call us yesterday for some reason. But there's still momentum, at least here. Well, you would think across the league and across league markets, especially in Vegas, that you would want to add even more, or, you know, to the what you've taken out of the momentum of the Predators run, and everybody seeing like, oh man, how great is that in Nashville, what they're doing with hockey? But that's not happening. Where in the NBA, it is. And of course, it helps when LeBron James is a part of the headlines, because he is one of the, if not the biggest name in sports in America. He is one of the top.
Well, and I think to the point of who does it well and who doesn't do it well, I should be clear. Like, for example, I think the Predators do a great job of keeping everything sort of there and being present. The Preds do a great job. It's the league that they're a part of that doesn't reciprocate that. And it's interesting, you mentioned the MVP. We're going to find out the MVP next week in the NBA. What's interesting to me is that the expansion draft conversation, the release of Vegas's first roster, the Vegas Golden Knights, their first roster is going to be released during an NHL awards show. That in and of itself is maddening to me. You want to tell me that the formation of a new hockey team and the roster and how it affects every other team in the league is just going to be flipped on in the middle of an award show? Like, that doesn't deserve its own special? I mean, you want to tell me they shouldn't handle that the way that Darren McFarlane made a great point when we were talking yesterday between shows? Look at how the NCAA handles the release of the brackets. I mean, they do it bracket by bracket, and they break down each bracket, and they force you into watching this special, and you can't take your eyes off of it. The NHL should have done that on the protected list, and they sure as heck should be doing it for the actual release of the Golden Knights roster. How does it affect? It affects every single hockey fan everywhere, and they're just putting it in the middle of an award show?
Yeah, and to speak on what CBS and Turner does with the whole selection show, they do it pretty well up until that one point where they decide, oh, it's for 90 minutes, and then the bracket got leaked.
Right.
So as long, but even if that happens with the NHL, hey, The draft picks got leaked. Awesome. We'll talk about it. Who leaked it?
And if you're sitting there and you run the National Hockey League and you say, you know what, we got a big award show. We want to hype that up. We want to make the award show a big deal. Wouldn't it make sense, for example, to do the award show after the release of the Vegas Golden Knights roster and do something that features those Golden Knights in the award show? If you want to get people to look at it, watch it, sure, I get integrating the new team. But the attempt to bring eyeballs, if your product, if your award show can't bring enough eyeballs from your diehards, that's a you problem. And if you're combining that with expansion and the release of an all-new roster, that's a you problem. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. We want everybody to buy into hockey because the fact is we showed in a non-traditional market that hockey can be hugely successful, it can be a fantastic party, and it can be a blast. What I want is for the NHL to pretend for just a second that they have half the thought process that the Preds have as an organization in putting together their big moments, because they've buried all of this in a way that nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Hockey guy will always be yelling at a wall about how great his sport is because his sport doesn't even care.
Yeah, and that's what's maddening. Hockey guy has become a thing because hockey guy is so passionate, and the NHL does nothing to serve hockey guy. It blows my mind. We'll continue the conversation, obviously, throughout the day, and I don't want you to forget Chad Ford, ESPN NBA insider, big get by Julian Council, going to join us next hour at 7:15. We're going to get into a little bit of the NBA stuff with him as well. But when we come back, Eric Decker has made the world explode, and suddenly the Titans are a favorite everywhere. Is that right? Should that be the way? We'll break that down next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Don't forget to sign up for our Michelob Ultra Foursome Golf Contest. Michelob Ultra, MAPCO, The Game Nashville, all giving one lucky winner and three friends a chance to experience the Ultra Foursome at four prestigious golf courses in Middle Tennessee, as well as passes to the Nashville Golf Open. To sign up, visit thegamenashville.com/Michelob Ultra Foursome. I'm Jason Fitz, Julian Council back there producing. Braden Gall in Omaha for one more day, covering the College Baseball World Series, doing some great work there. We'll get into Decker in just one second. I do want to make one quick point to go back to the conversation about the NHL not getting it. Tom points out that it must have something to do with the fact that the NHL is run by old-school hockey heads, and I think that's what we've seen the most of in the last year. I think we've learned that in the last year. As we, as a city and as a club, as a franchise, if we become more of the national conversation, we've paid more attention to the national conversation, and as a result, I think our eyes have been open to the fact that it's a bunch of old, stodgy hockey heads running this thing. The NHL needs an infusion of young talent that understand how to get to young talent. It's the same thing ESPN, for example, I think needed a few years ago. I think the NHL needs that right now, and they need it desperately.
Is there any other sport in America, pro sports league, where there's that type of fan? A traditional fan doesn't want anybody else to be a part of their sport.
No.
Anybody else to treat their sport or root for their sport in a certain type of way.
No.
Like, I just can't think of anywhere else, because it's crazy how you want hockey to grow. Us out here on the outside, and you smart people want hockey to grow. But then there's a subsection of hockey, whether it's at the top or it's just in traditional markets in Canada or wherever it is, or here in the U.S., where unless you treat the game a certain way and talk about the game a certain way, they don't want you to even be a part of the game. And that makes zero sense to me. And that's probably hockey's biggest problem.
And I think it's the exact opposite of, for example, soccer and rugby. I'll use those two great examples, as every time I meet somebody that's really passionate about soccer, more often than not, 99% of the time, that guy inevitably says, "Hey, watch a game with me and I'll explain it to you in a way I can get you into soccer." Rugby guys, the same way. They're like, "Man, come do a game with me. Watch it. You will get into rugby." And that's the great thing about soccer guy, rugby guy, those sort of in America still growing sports that want a bigger audience. The NHL is doing the opposite. The NHL is coming in and saying, "You know, you should do it my way and only my way." And it's part of what is crushing opportunity. I'm not saying that the NHL is dying. I'm saying that the NHL could be growing much faster if they just hired contemporary mindsets to figure out how to grow the sport.
Yeah, and I'm happy that you brought up soccer. I was talking to this guy, Charlie Stilitano, who is in charge of bringing the International Champions Cup here to Nissan Stadium on Saturday, July 29th, with Manchester City and Tottenham Hotspur. If I get that out there, go buy your tickets today.
Go buy them.
ChampionsCup.com. Yep. I was talking to him yesterday about how he saw Nashville as a market where they really wanted to help grow soccer, like you've seen with Nashville SC. And, of course, you can listen to Nashville Soccer Insiders from 8 to 9 a.m. on Saturday mornings on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, where you can hear the full interview with me and Charlie Stilettano, where he was just kind of talking about how Nashville, he really saw an opportunity to help grow soccer there. And he knows there's a base of people here who love soccer, but he also wants people to come out to the event who aren't, you know, predisposed to this sport. Well, and that's something like in hockey, they don't, it's not like that, it feels like.
And that's sort of it comes back to the mentality around different cities and different clubs. I think the mentality around Nashville for a long time has been, hey man, let's go, I'll take you to a Preds game, you'll enjoy it. I don't think that that's necessarily the NHL's total mindset. I think the NHL as a league is very closed off, and they lost opportunity. You make a great point, and I have to remind everybody, because we're passionate about what Nashville Soccer is trying to do here and what that club is trying to do. The best way we can support it is to go. I'm going to go to these things because I want to watch it. I want to be part of the experience. We should all be buying tickets because it helps get that club off the ground, helps that club be successful, and ultimately helps soccer grow to what could be an even bigger, better thing. The difference is the mindset is around how do we grow the sport. And so much of the NHL's mindset seems to be around, we will service you.
How
if
we preserve the sport.
Exactly.
That the integrity of the sport.
So well said. And it's opportunity lost. We'll keep diving into it. I want to get into this Decker thing, though, and this blew my mind. You know, I you guys know I watch a lot of NFL Insiders, NFL Live. I watch a lot of the NFL content on ESPN. It's one of my crowning moments in life to have been able to host NFL Insiders for a few days up there. I love that stuff. That's what I watch. When I get home, you know, I'm not tuning in college baseball. I'm not that guy. I'm the guy that tunes in and immediately tunes on to whatever NFL content I can get. I absorb it. I love it. So I'm watching it yesterday, and I don't know. Maybe I lost my mind. We had the conversation yesterday. Does Eric Decker make this team better? And I think by the end of the show, Julian and I had a really good – I think we're on the same page. I look at ultimately at the end of the day, Eric Decker, when you look at the success he's had and when you look at his track record, when you look at sort of the wide receiver room as a whole, what the Titans have added is Eric Decker, the slot receiver, who's had some good slot numbers with some good quarterbacks, is going to come in and he's going to contribute, and it makes the room better. So we're both wholly on board for this. Does it suddenly make the Titans a different team in the mindset of the media? That's what I don't understand. I mean, I'm watching TV, and you would have thought that they traded for J.J. Watt the way everybody was talking yesterday. Yeah. People were blowing up over Eric Decker.
Let's be honest, though, in the grand scheme of things when it comes to NFL, most people don't care about the Titans, especially nationally. And when you get a name like Eric Decker, who's played for the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning, who's played in the largest media market in the country, and who's been a widely successful player in this league, even if he's coming off in a season where he had hip surgery and was injured. When a guy like that comes down to Tennessee, a known name in the league, it's like, oh, okay, Titans, we see you doing things. So that builds up to, you know, the people already thought, like, hey, the Titans could be pretty good. It's like, oh, well, Eric Decker, I know him.
And then that's what it comes down to. It's I know him. It's billboard recognition. How much of our conversation yesterday for the Golden Knights was, what are they going to do when it comes to the Preds and the expansion list? Are they going to take Colton Sissons, who can build them for years, or are they going to take James Neal, who they can put on the billboard? I think the Titans have done a good job this offseason of doing both. They address guys in the draft that can help them for several years, but then they also get guys that make everybody pay attention. I understand the red zone stat that, and we were talking about it yesterday, that his efficiency, Eric Decker's specifically, his efficiency in the red zone has been pretty untouchable. It's been among the league's elite. But it should also be mentioned, as Teresa Walker mentioned with us yesterday, it's not like the Titans were struggling in that area. I mean, they were already red zone efficient. They didn't improve a weakness. They got a little stronger with their strength. I love that. I have no problem with that. But this doesn't vault the Titans, in my mind, from an 8-win team to a 10-win team just because they have Eric Decker. I don't see that difference happening. I mean, I see Eric Decker as an improvement, and I see him as a strength, and I see his work in the slot as something that could be really good. He can be, much like Delanie Walker is, he can be a safety valve for Marcus Mariota, and I believe in safety valves for your offense. I believe that a quarterback with safety valves is better because from the minute he starts to drop back, he has sort of that blanket with him. But Delanie was already doing that. It's not like he doesn't have a safety valve. He just now has a little bit more. It's not like they didn't have receivers. Now they just have a little more.
Yeah, and why I like this outside of just the competition that it's going to bring in training camp is the fact that you bring in a guy who has proven himself in this league. And when you have more proven guys out there, especially when you have a bunch of younger players, it gives you more assurance at night that, hey, I have Eric Decker. He's been in this league. He's done it with Peyton Manning. He's done it with Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick, for God's sake. He can do it here.
I love that it's always Fitzpatrick.
He can do it here. Hey, man, you throw six picks and turn it over seven times against the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm calling you Fitzpatrick for the rest of your career.
Amen. Amen. Well, and that's a great point. And I look at all of it, though. I don't view the Titans in the division, in the AFC South, which I think is going to be a much better division this year than it was last year. And I thought it was good last year. I just think it's going to be very good this year. I don't suddenly have a different view of the Titans in that division because of Eric Decker.
It hasn't changed. Yeah.
Right. I mean, Decker makes the team better, but does he suddenly make them better than Indianapolis? Does he suddenly make them better than the Texans? I don't think that it changes whatever deficiencies and proficiencies they had against those teams. They still kind of have. I don't think it's that much different.
Yeah, and in my view, it's still the same. I think this is a team that can potentially win the division as long as Houston doesn't have a quarterback.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Deshaun Watson becomes the guy. I know Nuke Hopkins endorsed Tom Savage for whatever reason to be the starter. If Tom Savage turns out being good, then I pick Houston. If Houston just gets a quarterback, they're my pick. But if they don't, I'll take the Titans. And that didn't change with having Eric Decker. It gives me more assurance that maybe the Titans, even if they don't win the division, can get into the playoffs. But no, my thoughts have not changed in the last 48 hours with and without Eric Decker on the team.
And it amazed me to be watching ESPN and see that kind of love coming from ESPN.
We'll take it.
We'll take it. We'll take it all day. But it really, it raises sort of what you need to get ready for, because I'm telling you, yesterday was just sort of the appetizer. The main course is going to come as the season gets close, and that main course involves a lot of Titans hype. We'll break down whether or not you love or hate that. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Braden and Fitz, live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Lillian on Twitter, one of our favorite tweeters, points out the addition of Decker is doing for the Titans what Subban did for the Preds last summer. Here's the difference. Subban, superstar in the league, any team would have killed to get P.K. Subban. Like, anybody would have lined up and given up something to get P.K. Subban. So getting P.K. Subban from Montreal last year was sort of like somebody trading for a J.J. Watt. I don't know, not maybe
J.J. It was the news of the offseason in the NHL.
Right.
This is not even really a blip on the radar.
They
talked about yesterday because it was the day of the news. And outside of that, they're not going to say anything more.
And this is a guy that was cut by the Jets because they didn't want to pay him his salary and they couldn't find a trade partner. Nobody wanted to pay him $7 million a year. And then he comes in. And for whatever reason, you know, whether he took the one-year deal here because that's all he wanted or whether he took the one-year deal here because that's all he was offered, what we know is that he went in, met with the Titans, and it wasn't like an immediate that-day deal. There's a general rule in free agency that if you let a guy leave your facility, you lost the guy. They let him leave the facility and still sign him, which means there weren't enough suitors out there. I'm not saying Decker's not significant. Don't get me wrong.
No, I understand what Lillian's saying. She's saying is it's giving Nashville – national press.
Yeah, and he's a star.
That's exactly what P.K. Subban did with the Shea Weber trade last year, and that's what's happening, at least yesterday, with Eric Decker signing with the Titans.
And he is a star, for sure. Like, he is – I don't know that he's a star player, but he's a star, and there's a difference there. I think Decker's a good player. I think he's a good player, and again, I think he's an upgrade for the Titans. But I don't think of Eric Decker and then think, man, that's the guy I want. Like, if I'm sitting here today and saying I can add any wide receiver to my room in the league, I can get anybody out there, I'm not immediately thinking of Eric Decker. There are many people around the league that would have said that about PK. But, again, it does put the attention on because – he's a star, and that's sort of what the next logical portion of this process is. But it creates the hype train, and that's where we are. And I have to stress this to you guys because I want you to be ready for it. We just talked about how NHL guy isn't all-inclusive. Like how NHL guys, like, stay off my lawn. But I want you guys as Titans fans to hear this right now, because there's two ways Titans fans in the past have gone. They've gone the why don't we get enough national credit, and then we've gone the don't jump on my bandwagon route. And I've seen both with Titans fans in the 20 years they've been here. Get ready, because that bandwagon is going to be ferocious this year. I mean, we've talked to, in the last few months, we've talked to, like, Peter King, we talked to him because when he released his preview power rankings, he had the Titans at number 4 in the entire NFL. He's incredibly high on the Titans.
I still want a psycho exam on him.
I get it. I get that everybody – this is what happens now when you cover the NFL. And this is what happens even having worked on the shows. Part of what they want to do is they want to find conversation pieces from previous years and they want to tie them in. So what they're doing this week on NFL Live, because NFL Insiders has now been absorbed into NFL Live, is they're doing 5 in, 5 out. And what that is they're taking basically the stat of the past few years and they're saying statistically there are going to be around 5 new playoff teams this year and 5 teams that don't make the playoffs this year. Who are those 5 teams? That's what they're identifying. That's a conversation piece in the offseason. The Titans are going to be on everybody's in list. Why? Because they were so close last year. Because they really stepped on their own feet last year. They tripped themselves up. They had the opportunity, should have gone to the playoffs last year, and they didn't. So it makes it a very easy pick. Plus, they've gotten better. They've improved some situations. They've put themselves in a better situation. They've drafted some players at areas of need. And if you take the all-positive approach, then you're going to take the approach that the team has gotten better, and around them, maybe everybody else hasn't gotten as much better, and with it being as close as it was in the South last year, the Titans are an easy pick to suddenly make the playoffs. The hype train is going to be ridiculous. I would not be surprised right now. I would not be surprised to hear people picking the Titans to lose in the AFC Championship game.
Whoa.
When is it? Because that's where the media is. I don't think that's what's going to happen at all. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think that's where the media is. Everybody wants to find the next team to buy in on so you can be the smartest guy in the room at the end of the season. And because of that, and Julian's going to tweet this out. Now people are going to jump all over like I'm saying it's the actual truth. But and keep in mind, I'm ever the realist. All right, I'm ever the realist in this process. You know that I am – oh, look at that hot. I got fiery hot takes. You know I am a huge Raiders fan, and the Raiders had their first good year in many, many years. I fully expect the Raiders to take a step back this year. I think that it's difficult to do it 2 years in a row. That being said, the Raiders are a hot pick this year. The Patriots are better than everybody. What media people want to do is be the smartest guy in the room. And at the end of the year, they want to be able to say, I was ahead of the curve on. So every year it feels like they pick somebody a little outside to come in. It's going to be the Titans this year. Hot take.
Wow. Wow, to lose in the AFC Championship game, huh?
That people are going to pick that. People will pick that.
That?
And frankly, I'm saying people will pick that.
What, 12-4 season?
And I'm going to say this now. You guys are going to hate this and going to throw it back at me later. I don't think the Titans win their division. That being said, I do not.
Wait, hold on. Timeout. Whoa. Back up. Beep, beep. So you're telling me the Titans are going to beat the Patriots and then lose?
No. I'm saying that media people out there, not me,
okay,
will pick the Titans to go to the AFC Championship.
Okay.
Game. I personally do not think the Titans will win the AFC.
If they don't win their division,
right,
they and get the top 3 or 2 seed, they ain't going to the AFC Championship game because they're going to have to play New England. But no, that's
it's
going to
be a trendy hype.
I understand what you're saying, and it is amazing that what's today? What is today? June 20th. That thought even exists.
Right.
I don't think even in August we would have been talking about, like, hey, media hype train is going to have the Titans. And I know around here people are mostly, when it comes to hype trains, they're thinking about Tennessee Vol hype trains. And those ones typically fall off the rails by October. Hopefully for the Titans that this is actually a thing. I don't know about AFC Championship game as far as what the media might say. And hopefully Field Yates texts me soon. We can talk to him next hour or something like that. We get his perspective on this. But that's... It's interesting. It should be an exciting time for a lot of people here in Nashville, just knowing what the Preds did, and the Titans can kind of take that momentum and what they built from last year before they decided to blow their season in Jacksonville, that they maybe could actually reach that potential.
And you know, I think that's going to be what everybody buys into, is that hope that they can reach the potential. Andrew in Nashville chiming in. Andrew, thanks for calling, man. What you got?
Hey, Fitzy, since Braden's not here today, I feel like I got to call and maybe talk some sense into you.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
This is really a bigger – I feel like it's a bigger trade than maybe you guys are giving it credit for because – or a signing because what this does for the Titans is it really opens things up in the receiving corps. So it makes Tajay Sharpe, who is a three, it turns him into a five with the young guys on the team. It gives us some veteran leadership, you know, much needed, some really sure hands in the red zone. So you can imagine, you know, we were a touchdown away from having a couple of wins, a couple extra wins last season. And I really feel like that's what this signing does for you. So you got Davis to stretch the field, Matthews and Decker to run the underneath. And I think it really gives Mariota a lot better options, a huge upgrade for us. So, and that's my take on it.
Andrew, man, I appreciate the call. And I'm always in for having sense talked into me. Thank you. I appreciate it. I still think that we're forgetting that Delanie Walker was already doing a lot of that underneath work. It's going to make the offense better. And he makes a great point. Anytime you add a wide receiver, what you really do is you trickle down for the rest of them. So yeah. you add Eric Decker as the number three, it's going to put a better matchup for Tajay wherever Tajay ends up lining up. You know, and I think that, like we said yesterday, it protects them a little bit. That being said, I don't think that they suddenly got two games better by adding Eric Decker, who wide receiver needy teams in the NFL. I mean, there are several teams that decided to take Jeremy Maclin in the last few days for much more money than Eric Decker. So we have to keep that in mind.
Like, yeah, I agree with what Andrew said about Decker, what he's going to allow for the Titans to do. It just didn't change my overall perception of the team from the last 48 hours. 48 hours ago, I thought this team was good enough to win a division and make the playoffs. Today, I feel the same way. Maybe they get a game because Eric Decker came in, but I don't see it as being a drastic thing. But, yes, it will help Marcus Mariota by having a veteran wide receiver in the room. And then Eric Decker said yesterday when he spoke that he wanted to be a leadership presence once he finds his role through training camp. So, yeah, it's a good pickup for the Titans. Does it change? It doesn't make him the Super Bowl contenders by any means. I know that's not what Andrew said. But it's not, I think, as drastic as many people are going to make it out to be, but it has stabilized that wide receiver room.
And I agree with all of that. I do think the Titans have every chance to win the division. I just I still believe that until somebody knocks the Texans off their perch, the Texans will stay on their perch. So
also got to win in Indianapolis.
Not taking anything away from the Titans in this process and not taking anything away from the signing. The signing has value. I just don't think that the signing should be the reason suddenly everybody at ESPN is buying in on the Titans. If you were buying in on the Titans 48 hours ago, you have a little bit bigger smile. If you weren't buying in, it shouldn't really change that to me. We'll continue the conversation, obviously, throughout the day. When we come back, I want to get into a little bit of this huge NBA news. Chad Ford, it's 7:15, going to join us. When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of this huge NBA news because, obviously, the speculation today is that LeBron may be moving on. We'll get into why and what that means. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.